Today my topic is being judgmental. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm familiar with being judgmental. And I'm also familiar with this famous quote, "Judge not, or ye shall be judged." Now, I wonder why that is. Well, maybe it's a little bit obvious that if we judge, there's a danger of being judged as a result. You know, we reap what we sow. But I think maybe there are other reasons why we don't want to be judging. When we judge, aren't we declaring the nature of the item that we're judging to be a certain way? Aren't we, in effect, creating that nature through our own perceptions and our own judgment when we say it or they are this way or that way? Aren't we making them be this way or that way? I was at a recent ceremony and a poem, "The Champion's Way," was read. It emphasizes what is a very well-known idea that our judging of our own capabilities in the face of challenges or difficulties or problems will be exactly as we judge them. If we think we can, we will be able to. If we think we can't, we won't be able to. I think Henry Ford is famous for having spoken to that same issue. And probably a lot of other people have done the same thing. How difficult a project will be is largely determined by our judgments of not only the project, but of ourselves, the various steps in that project, our feelings about the results that we're liable to produce, maybe the way we're going to judge ourselves during the project, and the judgments or reactions of other people to what we've done or not done. Wouldn't it be nice if the focus was, say, on doing each step of the project as effectively as we can, instead of creating obstacles through our judgment? What will they say? What will they say? What will they say? What's going to go wrong? What's going to go wrong? How difficult is it going to be? Instead of doing that, we would be better off focusing on what we're trying to accomplish. It seemed to me that being judgmental could be described as a threat identification habit. Threat identification habit. Think of this, that human beings name, we categorize, we classify with the intention that, oh, this is going to help me understand. If I can put it into this slot, if I can put it into this box, I'm going to understand more. Yeah, that's not always the best strategy. If you've ever heard about that story in elementary school where a group of children were misclassified, they up to that point had essentially been judged as being, ne'er-do-wells, slower than other kids, not likely to thrive in an educational situation. But somebody mislabeled their folders or their status in the computer or in the school system. So when it became time for the school year to start, the teacher that pulled out their records went, oh, wow, this kid has got real A student potential. And this one too. And they turned around. At the end of the year, they were all A students. But some of the teachers said, you know, I think I know those kids. I think I'm familiar with those kids. That doesn't seem right. And then they went back after the fact and they discovered they made an error. They misjudged those kids in a positive sense, whereas previously they were judged negatively, and the kids acted down to that lower level of judgment. So we think judgment is helping us understand. Maybe we think if I judge this and I categorize it, then it's going to increase the predictability and my control of the situation, because there won't be any shocks. I already put it in the enemy category or the friend category or the neutral category. And we think, if I can predict and control circumstances, well, hey, then my survival has got to be increasingly assured. It's got to be enhanced. That's a good thing for me. For those of us, and who doesn't fall into this category, if we've been exposed to threats early in life, starting from at at least at conception, and then working our way right up to about a minute ago, was like, I've been exposed to threats. But early on, if we've been exposed to threats, we can really recognize on an instinctual level, there's a high survival value in being able to recognize threats. The person that didn't recognize a saber-toothed tiger didn't get many chances. And if that was a habit that our bloodline had, we wouldn't be part of a bloodline. That bloodline would have been a menu item. It's like, ooh. The challenge is, when we practice something, we can become very good at identifying threats. So good, in fact, that it becomes a dominant way of interacting with life. Is this a threat? It's like, that would be an awful way to look at life, but it's easy enough to fall into that trap. And to make matters worse, we can be told, and we could learn to believe, that not all threats are external to us. So it's not, you know, something outside, it's not across the street, it's not on the highway, it's not at work, it's not in school, it's us. And depending on our religious experiences, we can know, that know, K-N-O-W is in quotes, we can know that we are inherently bad, we make God unhappy, we sin continuously, and temptations use our emotions to lead us astray and make us do bad things. Whoa, that dogma says there are bad things outside of us, and depending on your experiences religious-wise, you can say, oh, yeah, everybody who was not in my religion was a bad thing, and anything that made me feel good or had any kind of interest was, potentially sinful, if not absolutely sinful. It's like, whoa. So, if we've got bad things inside of us and bad things outside of us, what should we do? Well, a religious leader might say, give more money in the collections, follow our rules, and do what you're told. Simple enough. I don't think so. I don't think that's the solution to any challenges that we have. Who would want us to do that? Refusing awareness never solved the problem, and it never made a challenge smaller. So to refuse awareness, to refuse thinking for ourselves, to refuse reaching out for greater understanding of a situation does not sound like a good idea, no matter who is promoting it. If being judgmental is essentially an ego strategy, an ego effort to satisfy our four driving needs, then we can use this tendency to be judgmental and determine just how frightening our ego sees the world, sees our life. How scary is our world? How scary is life? If we are quick to take offense, pretty much at almost every kind of energy exchange experience, we're trapped in fight. We're trapped in fight. I think it's this set of beliefs that we have to heal. If we learn to believe, if somebody told us and we're like, I don't know any better, I accept that belief, or we were young and very programmable, we could believe that, number one, we're under attack. Well, if we got exposed to abuse or verbal or otherwise when we were little, and pretty much we would have, you're like, I'm under attack. Or, I'm about to do something. I'm about to make my presence known. I'm about to speak my truth. I'm about to take my place in the world. Wait. I will be under attack. Past experience told me when I was noticed, I was attacked. Oop. That belief needs to be healed. And if we tried, like the ego says, you've got to come in first in a race of life. And we're like, I really haven't succeeded at that. In fact, I pretty much failed at coming in first in a race of life. And I didn't get the attention. I didn't get the approval. They didn't make a statue of me yet. You know, by the time I was 12, I'm going to be neglected because that's been my experience. And for those of us who either we didn't succeed at getting what we wanted. Oh, I want that. Didn't get it. I want that. Didn't get it. I wanted a pony. Didn't get it. I wanted on and on and on. We could say, well, I'm not going to succeed at getting what I want. Or, if you've had this experience, this is familiar to me, I got what I wanted, but not the right way. And so I had the thing, I had the object. Unfortunately, I didn't get the good feelings from it. I got regret, I got guilt, got shame, got other feelings that were not what I was thinking was going to be the payoff. Oh, wow. And if we've had experiences, or we saw it in our family of origin, where we couldn't protect our own self-interest, and we couldn't protect the self-interest of our siblings or our parent, one parent or the other, or perhaps both, it's like, oh, wow. I wasn't able to protect self-interest, so anything that I acquire, any energy that I'm not going to be able to protect it, I'm going to lose it. Other people are going to take it, or it's going to be lost some way or another. If we have some or all of those beliefs, we will have to be judgmental of ourselves and others. Judgmentalism is basically an attitude copped when people think they can't produce for themselves and for others important to them the results they want. If you can't produce desirable results, what are you going to do with that energy? Be judgmental and cop an attitude. Not the most protective, productive, or protective for that matter. The habit of perceiving threats, you know, if we've practiced it, can override the habit or the desire to see possibilities. If seeing threats dominates our lives, then offense, which is fight, or defense, which is flight, they're going to be the impulses that we act upon. They're going to override, there's like boom, because it's survival-oriented, and those instincts are incredibly powerful. But instead, if we could have adopted embrace, if we could have held our ground and not run in one of those other two directions, to into the battle or away from the battle, if we could just hold our ground and embrace it and think, we can see this through, we can look deeper into it, there's deeper energies available to us, we would have bonded with the opportunity to grow in awareness and build upon that. We would have become more educated, more knowledgeable, not only to ourselves and our lives, but to the situation itself. It seems to me that being judgmental is really related to fight, because we didn't get what we wanted, and that was interpreted by us or our ego as a threat to our needs. I didn't get what I wanted. I didn't want, right? And there we go. Somebody talked to me the other day about impatience, and it seems to me now that impatience might be a form of being judgmental, but it's related to time. I didn't get what I wanted when I wanted it. Things are not happening fast enough. You know, people are on the highway when I want to go fast, and they're not going fast enough. Things are not happening according to my time schedule. I got a plan. Things have to happen in a certain amount of time. It's like, okay. And if we interpret that discrepancy between our plan and the rhythm that is naturally occurring as a threat to our needs, people say, oh, that person's impatient. Or we could say that about ourselves. We're impatient because we fail to recognize the rhythm. When I looked earlier at this list of negative characteristics mentioned in Christ's letters, the ones that we need to remove from our consciousness, it seems to me they're all related to the ego trying to get our four driving needs met. They're tools, they're weapons, actually, more than tools, they're weapons used by the ego. This is how you satisfy your four driving needs. Use these energy patterns. From letter 6 of Christ's letters, here's the list of the ego weapons. that we use to deal with threats. Criticism, sarcasm, judgmentalism, rejection, denigration, enmity, intolerance, hatred, jealousy, aggression, violent impulses, thieving, falsehoods, double and devious dealings, and slander. Think of that. When we think of those energies, you can say, you know what? You know what? I can see that they're basically used to disempower, to disable, to harm, to minimize, to diminish whatever it is we're perceiving as a threat. Or we're trying to push that perceived threat away. I got to increase the distance between me and it. Or in the case of jealousy, I think the ego is making us feel bad about our lack of something compared to other people, so that now the pain of that will spur us on to be willing to use the ego's weapons to get what others have, literally take it from them if necessary, and to get what we want. Yikes. Marianne read a little story to me yesterday morning saying that this is a story of two dogs. One dog walks into a room that has 1,000 mirrors, and it comes out with its tail wagging, bouncy, happy. A few minutes later, another dog walks into that same room. A little while later, comes out snarling, growling, on hyper alert. And a child asks the parent, What just happened? And the parent said to the child, the first dog went in and moments later discovered 1,000 happy, smiling dogs and was thrilled at the experience, while the other dog went in and found 1,000 threatening, scary, angry, hostile dogs and came out snarling. The point being that the world around us is mirroring us. It's mirroring us. Our judgment and any other kind of energy that we're putting out is going to show up in our environments, in things and conditions and people, in animals. It's like, oh, that's the point. When we or another are judgmental, we might be able to now interpret it like this. Oh, I get it. I'm feeling bad about myself for some form of not having enough, and I capitalize each of those three words, N-H-E, not having enough, and I'm projecting my own negative feelings outward. Kind of like a thunderstorm would do with lightning and thunder. It's taking its energy, it's trying to get back into balance, and I'm using someone or something else as a lightning rod so I can feel balanced, so I can get rid of this energy that is inside of me, all these bad feelings. That does not succeed in rebalancing us, because when we put it out, we're planting seeds. So let's ask a farmer. Ask a farmer a question. How do you get what you want? I plant the seeds that will grow into what I want. That should be fairly obvious. Oh. Well, aren't you judgmental of the farmers who have more than you? Being judgmental is planting the seeds with the consciousness of, I don't have enough. I don't have what I want. I'm not as good as others. I don't have as much as others. It seems, again, incredibly obvious that planting seeds of not enoughness produce a harvest of not enoughness. Not enoughness, everybody ought to know, is loaded with bad feelings. Bad feelings, lower vibration, suffering, illness, all kinds of things that none of us really wants. So, no thanks. That's not what I want to grow in my life. Why do farmers understand these principles? I think it's because they have to work. Their life's work is to be in alignment with the magic of divine intelligence that is producing growth. They got it. They do it for a living. Like, what do you know about growth? I know a lot because that's how I make a living. Oh, yeah. And if we focused on growth, we'd be doing more to facilitate that growth in us instead of judging ourselves or judging others as wrong, bad, or as threats. Being judgmental is like taking the off-ramp from the highway of happiness to go to unhappiness, go to illness, go to lack of success. Can you imagine that labeled on an interstate and you're driving and you go, oh, there's an exit to unhappiness, illness, suffering, frustration. I think I'm going to take that off-ramp. No. We would stay on our own paths if we're aware of what that path is taking us to and we're alert to these false off-ramps, these tools, these weapons that the ego would have us use. No, use this weapon. It may instantly move energy, but it sows the seeds of a future harvest that not one of us is interested in having. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from letter 8 in Christ Returns. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal, loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness. And as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.